thank you again for this day. Thank you for this great opportunity. And Lord, we're just so honored and so blessed that you would give us this opportunity to share the gospel message. Lord, we ask you to open up our minds and our hearts so we can receive your word and be an impact, not here at church, but everywhere we go. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your gift of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I'm excited today. I'm always excited. So the sermon today is the power of light. The thing that's important, I want to tell you a story, that the thing that's important is often I hear people talk to me and I talk about God being present in all of our lives. And often I run into people that's real devout Christians that really love the Lord with all their heart. And they have great intentions, and they mean well, and they have but somewhere in their brain, they have a corner on the market. And so they have a corner on the market, and they have a direct access to God, so they know who has God's presence and who doesn't. And so they say, well, this person has the Holy Spirit, and this person doesn't, and God resides in this person's life, but not this person's life. And so it becomes very challenging because what people don't understand is that God created the universe. And when he created the universe, everything else is a spark of the universe. And all of us, despite our background and despite our shortcomings, is a spark of the God of the universe, right? So he resides in all of us. And I share this story as I go into my sermon about the power of light. I was a young man and raised by a single mother with five children. And it was a very challenging situation because my mother was an alcoholic, but she loved us. But with alcohol, it's a disease. And so being in a community, Will, you'll appreciate this, being in a community with so many people, so many broken people, and they don't even realize they're broken, but it kind of breaks you, right? And then so you end up doing things and become issues and problems and sometimes bullies, and we become bullies. And a whole lot of things happen to us in our life, and people don't understand it, and they brand you as bad or terrible or whatever because of what they see. So they don't see the God in you. They just see the problem you have, right? But the reason I know God resides in everyone is because of personal experience, right? I was in middle school, and I got kicked out of middle school, and they told my mom I could never come back to middle school ever again because I was so bad. I had a stack of referrals this high. And a lot of my issues came from just frustrated with things that was going on at home, frustrated in a home, man, that was roach infested, you know, rat infested, sometimes not having food, and I mean, just frustrated. And so you go to school, and I couldn't get a big brother in the big brother program. Nobody wanted to be my big brother, so nobody wanted to have anything to do with us. You know, so it was just challenging, you know. And so you deal with, you know, then my mother was getting beat up, and my stepdad was stomping her in the head, and the ambulances come by the house. It was hell, right? And I met this kid. A guy by the name of Ron Simmons came into my life, and he changed my life. And but he told me, he said, if you change your friends, it would change your life, right? So I didn't understand because I didn't really have God in my life, so I didn't know nothing about God working. I didn't know about God being in my life, nobody else's life. But I ran into this kid by the name of Johnny Bankhead, right? And so this kid was from a two-parent family, they was rich, but they really wasn't. But I thought they were, right? Because anybody had $2 was rich to me, right? But he was from a parent where he has mom and dad, and they had a really nice, he had some nice sisters, and it's just a nice family. You go over there, they would have family cookouts and all that. And so our guy's pretty smart, right? So he said, find your friends. So I changed friends, right? So I was shooting dice on the corner, stealing radio out of cars. I was doing all kind of crazy stuff, man, trying to make it happen. And then beginning my ninth grade, between my ninth and tenth grade year, I met Johnny, and Johnny became my friend, right? Johnny had no idea about God using him to change their life. of a young man that would change his life forever, and they would be friends 50 years later, right? My mother was my heart. She was my pride and joy, right? So when I would see my stepdaddy jump on her and all that kind of stuff, it would hurt me to my core, right? But I didn't do anything about it because I liked him too, but I didn't do anything about it. My brothers, Earl and all of them, couldn't stand his guts, right? But I knew it was very challenging. But when God put him in my life, it turned my life. Now, it ended up a tragedy happened in his family. His dad ended up losing his life. But when his dad lost his life, it's almost like Johnny became an angel. He had no idea that he asked me to spend the night with him. Now, he was in ninth grade. I'll never forget it. And I never left home. I moved in with them in my ninth grade year. My mother lived around the corner, and I stayed every night in their home. They became my home. The bond became so tight that my vision changed because they were talking about going to college and all that, and nobody in my family on this side, and I have two sets of, so you see my brother JB here, my mother had two sets of children. She had a set in the north, and she had a set in the south. So my brother JB and LC and Marianne was all from the south. Well, she left them in the south and migrated to the north and had five more children in the north, right? And if anybody knew my mother, her name was Beatty Girl. She had a heart. Everybody talk about my heart. I really got my heart from her. She has a heart big as life. You know, everybody was welcome. She would do anything for anybody, right? But God showed me in that time, and I understand it more when I gave my life to the Lord, that he resides in the heart of men and women all over this planet. And people think they can look at someone and determine if God is working through them. And sometimes you don't even know God is working through you, but he's doing it. Now, my story is not unique, right? Everybody in this room got that story. Everybody got the story. That somebody came, God put an angel in their life, and that person came in their life and changed. It could have been an aunt, a grandmother, a friend, a classmate, or whatever. They came in their life and changed their life. And some of y'all, God was not even in the picture, so you thought. But he was working all the time because all of us are one. Hear me well. All of us are one. All of us are a spark of the light. And the light shines in all of us, right? And so the problem is when you read certain things and people take certain scriptures, they kind of discount certain people. But I was telling a lady the other day, I says, we often judge people because they're on drugs, right? But what if that person was stressed out because they lost a child? And it was so devastating, because this is real life, because it happened to me and my wife, right? But because her love for God, it changed us, right? But what if you had an experience like my wife had? An experience was so devastating. She was in the church, so devastating that I came home and she told me, honey, I was going to take my life. I was going to kill myself. The pain was too great. Right? Now, she was saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and she even shout. She don't shout no more, but she used to. She used to do all that kind of stuff, right? But you know, the thing is, she never turned to drugs. She never turned to alcohol, but some people do. And they still love God. But what happens is the drug or the alcohol becomes so powerful because the people in the world who's supposed to embrace God, right, work against him, and they do things, man, and they put stuff in stuff to get you addicted. And now it ruins your life instead of enhancing your life. And some people did it because they had an injury, and then they got hooked on something. And now everybody judged that person, man, based on their addiction instead of who they are in God. right? And they said, man, but you don't know, that thing is so powerful, it will make you steal from your mama. You know, the person you love the most, it'll make you take something from them. And it's not them, it's the drug. Because if you go to the core of them, man, you get to see God operating in them. Right? So, and you know God is there, right? And I remember I preached a sermon one time, and the lady got mad at me because I had a young girl who had OD'd. And when she OD'd, Tiara, the girl OD'd on drugs. And so I always interview families. And I said, well, tell me something about this girl, because I got to preach her a sermon, and I don't know nothing about her. But she was so famous that you couldn't find a seat in the house. And the girl's like in her early 30s, right? And she had OD'd, and she had, you know, they would always talk about she would go to the party, and she'd be so high, she'd be just laying down, and they had to carry her home, right? So when I started talking to her sisters about her, her sisters told me, said she was different than everybody else. So if somebody would die in the family, whatever, she would come, and she would clean up the whole house. She would wash the kids while everybody else was doing what they're doing, and she made sure everything's taken care of, but she's gonna steal something from you. And she wasn't leaving the house before she got something. She can say, I know what you're talking about, right? Say they're gonna get something, man. Right? And so I'm reading this, so I'm always saying, God, show me the story, right? And so he was telling me, says, listen, you get to see my expression in her without the addiction, right? But when the addiction kicks in, it start calling for them, and then they start doing things that's contrary to. But their core is me. Everybody say the core. The core is the light. Everybody say the light. So God is the light that shineth in the darkness. And the darkness really don't have the ability to conquer it. It just think it do. Right? And that's why some people, when they make it through the storm. And some of you guys, if I told you to give up and give your testimony say, man, I was an alcoholic. I was on drugs. I was a kleptomaniac. Or I was this and I was that. I was, though. But when the light came on and started shining bright, it changed my trajectory in life. And my hands look new. My feet look new. I walk different now. I talk different, right? So the power of the light, God wants you to know that when you embrace him, greater is he that is in you, right? Now what's happening is he already in everybody, but the problem is you know he's in you when you flip the switch. When all of a sudden the tables turn and you realize I can't do this by myself. I can't make it through this by myself. I can't get this job by myself. So then we call on God and then God answers, right? Because God is a right now God. But his right now may not be your right now. Because it says, like I said, he may not, when you want him, but he's never late, right? He's always on time, and he's always on time. So I want to talk to you guys about this light that's so powerful. So when you look at other people, I hope that you don't take and try to dim their light to brighten yours. But you can't, because I don't get to tell Will, you ain't got the Holy Spirit because I want to dim his light because I want to make, but mine is real bright, Will. Yours not bright, but I got the Holy Spirit, but you don't have it. So why do I need to dim his light to brighten mine? Why do we spend so much energy trying to dim God's light in other people's life? But why don't you just take your light and join your light with the candle and make the room a little bit brighter? It becomes, it's a lot brighter. So here's what he says, right, in Genesis. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he what? He didn't do it in some of y'all, right? He breathed the breath of life in all of us, so he put him in all of us, right? And the beauty of it, I have two children, that's me and Ardina, right? So AJ and Anessa is going to be me forever, right? So I don't die until they all die, right? So what happens is the egg and the sperm comes together, and it's my sperm and it's her egg pushed forward, and here we go again. Right? So then when AJ has some babies, here I go again. Then I just keep going. And I just keep going. Well, listen here. So if God did that system, so natural, so spiritual. So if God did it, he did it for us as well. So I don't get to brag about who I am as a black man. I only get to brag about who I am as God's man. Because there's no difference between that one and this one. Right? The only difference is you got some people who don't know who God is in their life, so they want to use their race or their position of power or whatever to make you feel small, to try to make them feel big, when in reality there is no difference between you and me. There's only one light, there's only one spirit, and we all are a spark of it. So I don't get to talk about you if I'm you. And the only difference between you and me, right, is I may have a different coat on. So my coat may be a little bit heavier and a little bit darker than your coat, but we still have the same coat. I told somebody, I said, it's hard for me to cheat on my wife because all women got the same plumbing system. All the rest of it is in my head. Right? So it don't sense me trying to think that somebody else look better because they just got a different coat on. But the enemy trick you and make you do it. Now, here's the thing. Now, I'm going somewhere with this here because God said in some that if you go to the depths of hell, I'm there, right? So if the light is in me, if I decide that I'm going to go cheat over here, he's with me. If I go over here and steal something, he says, okay, now I want you to know I'm with you while you're stealing it. You go to school and get your degree, and you say, I'm with you, because I never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what everybody else said. I'm telling you I'm not leaving you. That's what God said. God said, I'm not leaving. But, you know, Pastor Durden said, he only going to be in serpent. He don't dwell over. He said, listen, man, I have to dwell somewhere, and it's going to be in you. So, now, if he said you go to the depths of hell, that means you did something wrong, right? But he said, I'm going to be there. But you said if I did something wrong, he ain't going to be there. So either you lying or God lying. I'm banking on God. So let's work with it, right? So now, so look at Matthew, right? And this is going to be good. Because we're going to be out of here. I'm so excited about this. So in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. Everybody say the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, right? Now, because if you study history and you understand history and biblical history, they didn't have no electricity, right? They would light candles on top of the hills, and the houses and the cities was on top of hills. And the way that people could find their path, they would see the candles, so people would leave the candles lit so people can go from house to house, right? So they let the light shine so people can find their path. You are the light that give people the direct path to God. When they see your life, they see what God is looking for. He said, let your light shine. Let me shine through you so the world would know how to treat each other. So he said, let your light shine. Watch this here. He said, it can't be hidden. No one, everybody said no one, lights a candle or a lamp and then put it under a bushel. They don't do it because they want the light to shine. He says, so instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light where? Everybody say everyone. So everyone that sees you should see God. You should be reflecting him in everything you do. Not some things. You don't get to do it in church. You're not fooling anybody in church. We all here with a mask on, play acting. That's why they call them hypocrites. A hypocrite, anytime somebody, you're play acting. You're fooling me because I need to follow you outside, and I want to know what do you do outside here. Because God says, I don't dwell in houses that men built. He said, I only dwell in houses that I build. He said, what he's telling you is, I only dwell in the hearts of men and women. Right? He said, so you are a reflection of me. He says, and so all eyes are on you. Right? So then he says this in the 16th verse. In the same way, let your good deeds shine where? For who to see? So the what? Now here's the problem. Some people are so saved and so sanctified and so Holy Ghost filled, they said they don't really got, some people just do good things. They don't really have God. They don't know nothing about God. The atheists, but they just, they philanthropists. They do nice things. I beg the difference. Because I'm trying to figure out, it's got to be somebody that make me give my millions of dollars to somebody I don't know. Right? So, since it don't belong to them, and God touched, somebody touched their heart and told them to bless you. Right? Now, don't raise your hand if you ever been on welfare. Don't raise your hand, right? Don't raise your hand if you ever been in a shelter, anything like that. But I just want you to know, if you ever got food stamps, if you ever been on welfare, right? And I want you to know that somebody somewhere paid for you. God, and they said, well, you know, the government did it. No, the government didn't do it. We did it. Because some people won't work to pay into the government. Right? But God touched some people's heart, and they complain. I don't even complain about taxes. I don't even, I promise you I don't. My wife will tell you the truth. I don't complain about taxes at all. Because we was on welfare, JB, for years, and my mama didn't have nothing. So I was glad when they said unto us. Let's go down to the Freddie Townsend Center. And get some of that government cheese. So now I get to be a representative of God with all his resources to be able to bless into other people's life now. So when they take my taxes and all that, I just pay them. And I'm gonna let you guys on a secret. I promise you I'm not lying. I'm in the pulpit. I would not be lying. I'm in the pulpit, right? It don't even faze me, and I never run out of money. I never run out. I don't run out because it ain't never mine to begin with. Because the light shines in me, and because the light has access to all the resources, he never let my bosom be empty. My wallet is never empty, right? And so you have to ask the question, why is yours empty? When you got the ability to do exceedingly and abundantly and above, except you choose not to do. It's not a person in this room don't have the ability, man, to sustain themselves. We may choose not to, but God gave you the ability and access to the resources, but you won't do it. So the light is trying to shine inside of you. You say, listen, I got you, but you don't recognize who I am. So you live in darkness and you got your hand out, asking somebody to help you. He says, when you don't need nobody to help you, he said, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He said, I never made you the lender. I always made you the borrower. He said, and the ones that were struggling, he said, they only struggled for a while, and then I opened up the winds of heaven. But I only open up for those who open up to give. The one who's willing to give love, because the world works on love, and love is light. So if the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness don't comprehend it, we're not comprehending. So now we live beneath our privilege when we bless beyond measure. That's what the kingdom is all about. That's what God was trying to, that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus became the light to show us that we can have access to whatever. All right, now let me get, here's what John said. This is the message that we heard from Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And now we declare to you, God is what? And there's no what? Listen, when I recognize who he is, There is no darkness in my life. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. I don't worry. He is no. There is no darkness. Listen, there's nothing. There's nothing he won't bring me through. There's nothing, because there's nothing. There's nothing that the light would not eat up the darkness. I don't care if it's pitch black. If I light a match, it'll light the whole room. One spark of a match will light a whole dark room. That's how powerful light is. That's how powerful you are, man, when you recognize God in you. And can't nobody can put the light out. Because the only person to have control of the light is you. And the only way the light can get dimmer if you turn it down. Right? And if you want to get brighter, I'm smart. Right? I am super smart. I'm telling you, I'm brilliant, right? I act like I'm not, but I'm real smart, right? I know if I hook my light to Alyssa's light, I got to get brighter. It got to get brighter. I don't care what. And she's going to do whatever she can to help my light shine even brighter. I'm smart. So if I hook up with you, I promise you, you're going to hook up with me. If I lift you up, you're going to lift me up. Right? So if you get smart enough, all you got to do, watch this. If I do for you, God got a balance in the universe. It's going to come back to me. Now, if I hurt you, the universe has to be in balance. I got to feel it. It's coming back to me, right? But here's the beauty of light, right? It can brighten up the darkest day, the darkest thing in your life. So then he was saying, John, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. Now, first he said God was. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, all of a sudden, now he said he becomes the light. Because when you read John, John says, in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was God, and it was with God, and it became flesh. So the mind of God now is transferred into the body of Jesus. So God's light comes into all of us like Jesus. And he was so powerful that we talk about him now over 2,000-3,000 years later. But we discount that he's living in us. So we don't think we have the same power he have. They said, but we are sinners. No, you're not sinners. Right? You're only a sinner when you sin. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability not to sin. That's why he said Jesus can go, he can be tempted and not sin. It's not a person in here. If I'm lying, I give you $1,000. When the Holy Spirit is in your life, before you ever sin, it lets you know you ain't supposed to do it. And you have the power in your mind not to do it. Now, you may choose to do it, but you don't have to do it. What happened is we yield to our flesh and not to our spirit man. The more we feed our spiritual man, the stronger we become. The more we feed our natural man, the stronger it becomes. You know, you get on a Facebook and watch all these girls shaking their booties and all this kind of stuff. Feed your system that. No, I'm just real talk. Feed your system, right? Then all of a sudden you're trying to find one. Because you're feeding your flesh. And you got some people, man, they won't even get on Facebook. They say, man, I don't want to see that garbage. It make them sick to their stomach. Right? Because they're feeding their spiritual. They say, man, you just don't look good. Yes, because that's what you're feeding. Right? And it ain't got nothing to do with being old. It's got to be with your relationship with God and understand who you are in the light. As the light shines in you, the darkness is diminished. It's got to go. All right. So then he says, in him was who? Life. And the life was the light of who? All. Everybody say, all men. So I don't get the corn on the market and tell you you do and you don't. I know some of us are super deep, but think about this. Think about this. I want you to think about this. Everybody look at me. Eyes on me for a second. I want you to think about it. What if you didn't spend so much time trying to find a fault in other people, how good would you be? If our whole mission in life is to try to find out what you're doing wrong and correct the way you're living, right? How can we get closer to God when I'm spending so much time trying to figure out what you're doing wrong? All my energies, I can't even worship God because I'm looking at you. I can't praise God because I'm so concerned about what you got on. I'm so upset. Listen, I can't get to God because I can't believe you went to the concert. They went to the concert? They supposed to be saving. They went to the concert? I can't believe they went to the concert. I just watched it on TV. I didn't go. I just listened to the song in the car. But I ain't go to the concert. So I'm a little more saved than they are. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? Now, so, but what if we rethink this thing and realize that God is in all of us and I don't get to control you? Why am I so worried about what you doing? So all my emphasis now is on you. But what if I just follow the universe and just love you for who you are, not for what you do? Because I don't know your backstory. Right? And since I don't know your backstory, why don't I just love you for, because you didn't do anything to me. All you did was gave, Lynetta just came up here and gave me a hug. Right? But I'm upset with her because her and Brian got to arguing. What they got to do with me? Well, y'all probably in church. That ain't got anything to do with me. They got to answer to God about their behavior. So I don't get to tell, well, just sit down and you can't, Lynetta, I don't want you to do nothing no more in the church until you get it right with Brian. Then we all going to stop working in the church because all of us got to get it right. But if we focus on loving people and as the light come inside of us, because God light, hear me out. Now, I may get ate up on social media, but it don't bother me because I don't get on social media, right? So what they're going to say, they're going to tell you how to tell them what they said because he on it. They're going to get on his podcast and say, man, your pastor, you're tripping, right? It does not matter what nobody else say. It only matters what you think about you. Because if I think you, listen, I can think you're wrong. If you don't think you're wrong, you're not wrong. I'm going to keep on saying you're wrong, but if you don't believe you're wrong, in your mind, you're not wrong. Now, I can quote you scripture, right? But that's based on what I believe. But if you don't believe it, it don't make a hill of beans what I say, right? So why do I just love you, all right? If I share my views about God and what I think God means to me, right? And just love you through it, you might hear what I got to say, and then you might change your actions. But the minute I say you're going to hell right now, you need to stop, and you're going to hell. You know that skirt is too short, and you're going to hell. You need a longer one on. And the girl said, well, mama had a long one on too, and that's how I got here. Then you say, well, you know, that was back then. That's what you say, right? So you got to understand, why am I talking about people when I can just love you for who you are? God is a God of love. I'm going to prove it to you. I know I got to prove it. So y'all won't go on. So, now, watch Acts. God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. So I know, I put this in here so you understand. Because everybody thinks when you come to church, there's certain things. They say, you shouldn't allow, I heard somebody say, you shouldn't allow that to happen in the church. I said, the church is in the people. I said, now I can stop them for 45 minutes, but I promise you, if they got hell in them, they're going to have hell when they leave. Now I can come in, I say, you know what? You're not singing no more. I'm going to sit you down right now. Okay, they're going to sit down. And then they're going to go do what they're doing, right? Now, I'm not saying everything goes in the church. What I'm saying is, God dwells in your heart. If we don't get inside of people's heart and show them in the love of God on the inside, don't try to put on a facade in the church and make people think you come here and make a difference. Right? It's an inside job. The egg got to crack from the inside to give life, not the outside. So I got to keep telling you. That's why I preach the way I preach, about so much knowing who God is in your life. I want you to know who God is in your life and not what somebody else said. Because somebody, they told me I wasn't saved and I had the Holy Spirit. They told me that. They said, you ain't got the Holy Spirit. If you had had this Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be doing this here. Right? Right? And they told me that and meant it and believed it. Right? That was their opinion, though. Because in John, he said it blows and you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's coming from, right? So if God is blowing, am I working on you? Raise your hand if you know the story of a caterpillar and a butterfly. Right, right, right. That means some of you guys got a struggle in your life. So God got you struggling some things, and some of you guys are beautiful butterflies. You've been through hell. And some of it was your fault. And God could have stopped it, but he didn't. Because he needs you to go through that hell so you'll be a better person somewhere else. So you can be better ministers for him. So sometimes he just let you deal with because I had to make you stronger for somebody else coming along. Otherwise, you're going to be putting people in hell when you should be there. Right? Now, so he don't dwell in temples. Now, here's what he does. Here's what he's going to get good. Oh, go back. Here we go. Do you not know that you are God's temple? Everybody say you. You are God's temple, that God's spirit dwells where? His light dwells in you, not in the church, not in the building. We come here to gather and worship God and all that, but in reality, there is not a person that quit a church because of the building. It's not a person alive. They don't leave a church, man, because the building didn't get painted. They leave a church, man, because somebody in the building wasn't painted. You know, they say, I'm not coming back, man, because Sister so-and-so did so-and-so, so-and-so. Or they say, well, you know what? I didn't feel the spirit. I'm not even mad with you, right? Because you got to go somewhere where you feel it. You know, because this is your life. This is not mine. That's why I don't talk about nobody. Don't go to church here. But if they leave... One girl said, you know, Pastor, I'm going to another church and I'm visiting another church. So I want you to know I'm changing my membership. I need more. I said, good, baby. I said, make sure you find somewhere. I said, but do me one favor. I said, make sure that it's an inside job. Because if you're going somewhere for somebody preaching and thinking that's going to sustain you, it's not going to sustain you. The thing that's going to sustain you is going to be an inside job. It doesn't matter where you go. If you're not right on the inside, that hell gonna follow you wherever you go. I don't care where you go, and you're gonna find out right now that man, I'm gonna go back over to Kingdom Ministry because that man crazy, right? Right? Because people are people, but you are the one that matters. Get your heart right, and make sure you're right. And if you're doing anything wrong, get your life in order, right? He said, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. The reason why he said that, and people said, God don't dwell in an unclean temple. We'll talk about that later. But for God's temple is holy, and you are that. The reason why he said that, because God in the world, he gave us these bodies. And the bodies has really got five senses, and it's used to interact and carry out God's mission in the world. Right? So in this world, we need our bodies. Right? That's why he said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, in the event that you destroy it, he said, I'm going to leave it. If you destroy, he said, I just send it back to the ground because it ain't nothing but some dirt. But the dirt is electric. So the dirt is not dirt when I'm in it. But in the event that you don't take care of me, you feel like you don't want to do what's right by it, he said, then maybe I'll throw it away. And I take, now watch this here, and I take the spirit and move it. Now, I'm not going to get into this. I want you to get this deep now. That's the Holy Spirit. When you read John, the third chapter, he said, the Holy Spirit may come so it can leave you and get into another body. That's why they taught reincarnation and all that in Egypt and all that, and Jesus taught it. That's why when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, who did men say I am? They said, some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah, right? He said, why? But who do you say I am? Then he said, oh, you are the Christ. He said, yeah, God revealed that to you. Because they didn't know that he come back as a different person. Did that spirit from John move forward? Because Jesus even told us that John the Baptist was not John the Baptist. Jesus told us John the Baptist was Elijah. Right? But he knew that spirit of Elijah came forward and it worked through John. Right? And so your body is such a temple that God says, I want you to preserve it, do it right, because I need to be in it. That's why he said you can't join it to other people. It's like joining to a harlot. Now, and I'm done with this so you can get out of here by 12:30. Here's the thing. Listen, I want you to hear me, man. This is important. Wherever you go with that body, God go with you. Don't you be deep and think you're so spiritual that you ain't no good. I promise you. Don't think you're so deep that God ain't with you. God said, if you go to hell, so you think you slick. You think you slick? Sneak over there. God says, I'm right there. He said, go down over there. He said, I'm right there. He said, be high there. You go wherever. He said, I'm there. He said, I'm never leaving you. Nor forsake you. And I'm going to be right there, man, tugging on you, saying, listen, get it together. Any event that you don't get together, then I'll snatch my spirit from you and move it somewhere else. But I'm going to keep on, and don't nobody know, he said, because I give everybody a measure of grace. And you don't get to determine the grace. I get to determine it. Right? He said, so you don't know when it's going to happen, when I'm going to snatch it out and then send it somewhere else. Some of you all got kids, and you said, man, that baby crazy. They ain't get it from me. And maybe. Some spirits, man, come from your grandparents. And that thing has come forward. And your kids act like your great-grandmama. Or your great-granddad. That's real talk. That's not no place up. That's real talk, right? That's what I told my kids when they was younger. I said, don't drink, y'all. JB, I told them, I told AJ and Nessa, I said, don't y'all drink. Don't y'all, I said, because that thing is in my family line. I said, if you do it, you're going to get addicted. Because I seen the spirit just kept jumping from one person to the next person. So I was trying to break the curse. Right? Because that thing will jump and it'll keep running. And then it get in your kids. And everybody said, not me, it won't happen to me. And all of a sudden, you hook, like hooked on phonics. All right, now, so let me wrap up. I'm going to go so we can get 12:30. I got to close out with this. He said, I pray. Now, this is Jesus. Now, this is what I want everybody to get. Because this is the light, right? I pray, this is Jesus, that they will all be one. Now, he's talking to the Father. He's talking to God, right? Everybody say he's talking to God now. Now, here you get to see the separation of God and Jesus, right? He says, I pray that they will all be what? One. Just as what? Now, he's talking to God now, right? But they in such a union because the Spirit of Christ comes from the Spirit of God. And when you're in union with God, all power is exerted. Right? So he says this here. He says, I pray that they will be one just as you and I are one. As you are in what? Hold on. Wait. You are where? So God, the Spirit of God was in Jesus. And made him the Christ. Right? Then he says this here. Father, I am where? In you. And made what? They be where? In where? So that what? That the world may believe. Watch this here. He says important, man, because the power of unity and oneness. You got to, Lord, make them one. Let them understand that they really is one. We're not separate people. We're one. If we look at ourselves as one, then I won't hurt you. I won't destroy you. I do whatever I can to edify you, lift you up. Because what I do to you, I'm also doing to me. Right? I can't do anything to you and don't do it to me. If I sold you something and I gave you less than part of God's love is going to be retracted from me. He says, you can't do it. The word got to be balanced. He says, why are you going to steal from you? He says all this thing stays in the same circle. Right? He said, so if you want, he said, the whole world was built on love, on my light, because God's love is his light. And his love shines in our hearts. And most of us, I don't care what anybody say, most of us struggle because we don't know who we are. Once you know who you are, all the demons in hell will come out. That's why people have to do deep meditation. People have to go in retreats and all that to really dig. That's why people, is there anybody here, man, don't mind telling somebody if you raise your hand, if you ever been to rehab? Raise your hand. Right. Now, in rehab, man, it's some serious meditation stuff going on. It's some deep stuff. They take you to some deep session. So what they try to do is get all that stuff out of you. And what do they do, Derek, when they get out of you? What do they do when they get out of you? They pour something back where? They put the word in you. Why? They trying to put God back in your life and make God. Teresa, don't be laughing at Derek. Teresa funny. She always laughing at Derek. But they put the word of God in you, man, to try to bring God alive in you. What they're really trying to do is make you back to your original state. Because if you recognize who you are in God, the devil in hell can't stop you. That's what they just. If I can get you to know who God is, can't nothing stop you. Can't no boss stop you. Nobody can stop you. And you treat everybody different. And you operate with a whole different currency. A currency of love. Everybody say, let your light shine ever so brightly. Not just in my life, but in the life of others. Give the Lord a hand clap. Everybody stand to your feet. I want you guys to leave with this. Every time you think about judging somebody, think about judging yourself. Every time you think about judging what somebody else is doing, think about loving them. All right? Let's bow our heads. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being a blessing in our life. Thank you for exposing your light to us. Let us know that you reside in us. And greater you in our life than you just in the world. That knows nothing about you, who refuse to accept the light. And they go about in this world hurting people, thinking they can take somebody else to make their life better when it actually makes their life worse. Lord, give us a spirit of love so we can be givers. Just like you give it to us, we can re-give it back to others. Let us quit play acting and really be children of the light. Let people really truly see the love that control our life. Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to be able to walk in love, walk in true love. Thank you for not giving us the backstory of people's life. You just told us just to love them and focus on that piece. And we thank you so much. As we leave this place, Lord, we never ever want to leave your presence. To be with us, guide our hearts and guide our minds. Give us traveling mercies. But Lord, if there's anyone out there that don't know you as the Lord of their life, Lord, we want you right now to come into their heart. Give them a desire to accept you in their life so you can control their life and live through them. Oh, we thank you so much. The altar is open for those who like prayer or would like someone to join with you in prayer, just touch and agree with you. You don't even have to tell them what you need them to touch and agree with. Just come up and let them just to touch, and then you can just go back. But consider yourself dismissed. God bless you. Have a nice, wonderful, awesome, magnificent day. God bless you.